Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God loves his people so much, and he always have, and he always will. God is consistent in his love, and he cares about us all. He desires that we go forward and not backwards. He wants us to know him, and he wants us to operate just like him. And that's one reason fallen angels hates us so much. They're afraid of our potential. Satan is afraid of our potential, and the world system is also afraid of our potential. Let's look at Psalms chapter 2. And everything has there's a reason behind everything that happens. The positions that people take, they don't always understand why they take it. But if in Isaiah chapter 8, it talked about a time when people would be seeking wizards that peep and that mutter. We're going to get to Psalm chapter 2, but let's look at Isaiah 8 first, because it just came up in my spirit. Now, there's an overview in chapter 8. Let's just look at the whole chapter, because I don't want to miss anything. I can be bad about missing something when the Lord puts something in my heart. If I look at the scriptures, I can give a whole picture. Isaiah 8 says, "Moreover, the Lord said unto me, Take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Mereshal and Hashbaz. And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, Call his name Mereshal and Hashbaz. Before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. And the Lord spake also unto me again, For as much as this people refuse the waters of Shiloh, that go softly, and rejoice in reason, and Remaliah's son, now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria, and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks." This is something that I wanted to get to, but this is not where we're going. We're going to something even much worse. There's a desiring people. They refuse the waters that go softly, such as the Garden of Eden, such as the love of God. That's our power source. Most people, proud people, are reversed. They are reversed in their thinking. I ended yesterday's broadcast touching on it. And I really wanted to go further, but I ran out of time. These files will only hold 30 minutes. But today's broadcast, I want to talk about how people view things. The love of God is the power source. The waters that go softly. Obedience is a strength. But proud men will always see obedience to God as a weakness and not a strength. That's how proud people process. They process in reverse of the heart of God. But those who do things God's way, they celebrate life by receiving God's word. And then guess what happens? Sowing and reaping works. You know, Timothy Alberino talked about a city in South America. I forgot the name. But the whole city went Christian. They do Christian education. They love God. And they got carrots big as a man's arm, heads of lettuce, and cauliflower that takes two people to hold. And scientists are going down there to see why. It wasn't Timothy Alberino. It was Ken Peters talked about this in 2000. Ken Peters talked about that at the Prophecy Club meeting he had back in 2000. Nevertheless, the The food is, the produce is off the charts. Why? And the scientists, they think that they put something in the soil. They want to know what it is. It's not. It's nothing they put in the soil. They just love God. Prosperity follows obedience. It always has and it always will. The waters that go softly. You know, sheep won't drink from moving water. You have to take them to still water. I'm not a shepherd, but that's what I heard. So I'm repeating that. So, but the thing is, the waters that go softly, the living love of God, this is doing things that attract the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit come to guide you in all truth. Jesus said, if you bear fruit, he's going to purge you that you bear more fruit. So when you embrace the words of God, what he's saying, when his love and his word is embraced together, you're motivated by his love. And when he speaks, you embrace his word. You're going to live in the prosperity of the waters that go softly. Seeking God, wanting more of him, desiring more, desiring what's next, trusting him. But see, people want to be powerful. They want power. They want power that they can see. They want to have power over others. They want to have preeminence. And this is why they embrace witchcraft. And this is, they got into idolatry. They, you know, the slaves, they were once slaves in the Hebrews were once slaves to Egypt. But they kept looking to Egypt. When they get in a pinch, they want to go get Egypt to help them. They looked up to the Egyptians, which were idolaters. They were proud. They made, and proud people make themselves look good. They even, when they teach the word, they teach it in a way where they get the glory. They teach it in a way that you know, I believe in being honest with people. I'll talk about the faults, and you know, I got just as many problems or failures as I did successes. And when it's relevant, I talk about it. When the Holy Spirit prompt me, I go back and rehearse what happened years ago. See, you can learn from failure too. When you're trying to go forward, that's not failure. You may not get it right because you don't know everything. You know, without Jesus, we're out of class. Satan's smarter than us. But he has to fight us on our level so we can always win. But if he can't kill your determination to do things God's way, he can't stop you. There's nothing he can do with you. If he sets you back, you'll regroup and come back stronger. And then you'll teach people how not to fall into that trap you fell into. So when people they talk around the failures and they just build up the successes, then people feel like, well, hey, I don't have a chance. I don't know all that stuff. It's not the success that they ended up with. It's the Lord that was with them all along. And he's with you too. And I had to learn that. I said, God is with me. I had to get over dead doctrine. I had to overcome lousy preaching that was just wrong. People saying things like, God sent the problems to make you grow up so you won't be in pride, make you tough. Well, God's not a dog fighter. That's how dog fighters do. God loves us. You know, they're brutal to the animals to make them mean. But God don't do it that way. He give us his word. He sent us the fivefold ministry. And he sent us his word and heal us. He gave us the gifts of the Spirit to operate in. It's always the waters that go softly. It's always the people that Jesus went around doing good healing. That's the waters that go softly. All they had to do is receive it. Their eyes came back. Their legs were able to carry them again. The lame walked. The deaf could hear. Right in the middle of everything. And the proudest people hated it the most and wanted Jesus dead the most. And it's no different now. In fact, it's worse. The hatred against Jesus is much worse in an exponential multiplied way than when he walked the earth. He said on the cross as he was giving up the ghost, just before he gave up the ghost, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, he rose again, saved people that people can't do anything with, and people are trying with all their efforts to ignore him and come up with a way to discredit what he did so they can excuse themselves in darkness. So when this happens, it always ends up in war. An enemy, that attracts the Satan's army. Defiance against God attracts Satan's army. Just like the living love of God, the waters that go softly, attracts the Holy Spirit. And who are you attracting? Why? If you love God, you're attracting the Holy Spirit. When he comes to you, when he comes to visit you, how will you respond to him? The waters that go softly is always God's best. He put Adam in a garden, gave him example to make the whole world look like that garden. And all he had to do, he had 6,000 years to get the job done without sin. And the whole world would have been just as beautiful as planets where there is no sin. And there are people that God has made that have not failed, that didn't fall. God told me years ago, he said, I'm still making planets and people. So he's still busy. I used to think, well, maybe he stopped till he get all this straight. No, he's still making planets and people. He don't stop what he has to do because of some knucklehead Satan. He's going to deal with Satan. Satan's going to be out of the picture forever. And after the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, he's going to let him go to attract whatever he can attract and put him down once and for all. And he'll never see space again. He'll never see nothing but the sidewalls of that pit, that bottomless pit that he's going to, along with all the people that follow him. They're going to follow that rabbit right down his rabbit hole. Now, here we go. So people want to be mighty. They have that, you know, that's why people put their will before God, missing out on so much. Even Christians that they're not in a specific sin and they're doing things the best way they know. It's not wrong. But when you don't follow if you don't follow through with what God is giving you, you're missing out on so much. God, every time I obeyed him and did exactly what he said do, it always exceeded my expectation. I was always better off than I was before. In knowledge, in growth, in peace, especially in joy. There's a joy to obeying God. My biggest regret is that I didn't do it faster. But he had to take me at my pace, but eventually, I began to get excited when the Lord gave me an instruction. So everybody, the proud-hearted people always choose the rough path. They always want the waters that go roughly. They end up with it, with war and devastation. He said in that verse 7 again, now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth upon them the waters of the river, strong and mighty, strong and many. Even the king of Assyria in all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. See, Satan played them on two fronts. He got them to follow his rabbit hole path, and then when they got defiant against God enough, then here comes the army to wipe them out and take them captives, make them slaves. Verse 8, and he shall pass through it. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck. And the stretching out of his wings shall feel the breath of thy land, O Emmanuel. The people that should have been following Jesus are in trouble. Verse 9 says, associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to nothing. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. See, everybody involved with the pride of Israel and the idolatry of the day, God raised up a man, the king of Assyria, to be an axe in God's hand and go and take all of them captives. So when they rally in pride, they're going to be broken in pieces. They should have been fasting and praying like the Ninevites. Sometimes you got to repent like a Ninevite and fight like Judah. You got to repent like the Ninevites. You know you're wrong. Repent. Then God can change course. A lot of times people misunderstand the purpose of prophecy. Prophecy reveals God's will, and it's always conditional. Prophecy is given so that you can step out of harm's way. Just like the book of Revelation. He gave us what he told us what Satan was going to do and why. And then he told us what he's going to do and why. And you can decide what side of the fence you're going to be on. Are you going to go down the rabbit hole of the world? Or are you going to step out of it? Revelation is given. It's not set in stone. Everything is conditioned upon what people do. The judgment of God caused this don't come. It's not coming unless you cause it. And people are causing it. And, you know, God give us politicians. You know, that's your way. That's, you got to vote them in. You got to pray them in. So if you're going to listen to the world and be lazy, then you can lose what God is trying to give you. But God has a way. To those who really love him and walk in his way and enjoy the waters that go softly, they're going to be immune to whatever happens. But so many more are going to be destroyed. So the strong has to bear the infirmities of the weak. Though we bear their weakness, we pray things in so that people can make a choice for God and live a better life. But the waters that is always the waters that go softly. Jesus is the waters that go softly. And God has divided. He put enmity between his seed and Satan's seed. Satan's seed is the pride of man. It's always an enemy against God. Their logic is backwards. And people who are anointed, they're not immune. Jesus said, they're going to stand before Jesus. We did this in your name. We preached. We healed people. We raised the dead. We cast out. And it's true. They did. The goodness of God is greater than their pride. Because they yielded in one way, God, you, and in hopes that they'll get on board again and leave the ways of the crooked ways of the world. But when people fall into that loop of pride, they become like Diotrephes, who didn't want John around because he wanted the preeminence. And people that love preeminence are dangerous. And they cause more problems. But in the presence of God, when they die, they're going to be cast in the outer darkness. That's not good. I don't desire that for anybody. But the Lord is not going to do this again. It's not going to be another insurrection. If he let one sinner in heaven unchecked, they can start another insurrection just like Lucifer did. It may not happen now. It'll happen over time. So, you know, people, they start off backbiting and making themselves look good. This foolishness is going to be known for what it is. And judge once and for all, and we'll never have this problem again. Daniel said in chapter 9, that would be an end to sin. That's one of the things that he mentioned that Jesus would accomplish. Now, he's a savior, but he's also a judge. He didn't come to judge first. He came to save us first. But he's coming back to judge and take over and drive the devil out of the earth, just like the Hebrews should have driven out the Canaanites. Well, Jesus is going to come and drive all the demonic people out of the earth. He's going to cast the false prophet and the Antichrist in hell alive. alive. And people are going to see it happen. He's not coming back to save. He's coming back to end sin. And the people who survive, the sheep nations, they'll repopulate the earth. And he's going to reign. And some people are going to love God, and they're going to love the waters that go softly, even in the presence of God. Even in the living presence of God, even though they can see and talk to Jesus, and they know the history of everything that happened, those that love the waters that are many, like a river, their pride will swell up in them, and their heart will grow hard. They'll try to hide it and mask it, but it's there. Satan, everything that's of pride will follow Satan in one way or another. And people follow Satan for different reasons. But following Satan is following Satan. Now, he said, associate yourselves, ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye that are far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. They're going to bow up in pride too. They're going to be broken, and they were broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and this shall come to nothing. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake this to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy, to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. This is how we get on track. If you're in the world, and you're tired of it, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you're trapped in the world, if you can fear God, you can get out of the world. Okay, verse 14. And he, Jesus, shall be for a sanctuary before a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a sign and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It's still the waters that go softly. Jesus is our King. He's our Savior. And he's also the stumbling block against those who are proud. Now, every nation, they gird themselves in pride. They bowed up in pride. The king of Assyria came and got them too, because God gave the king of Assyria the victory. He was not a good king, but God raised him up to judge this wickedness. He was the first one to judge this kind of wickedness after Israel was in captivity. He's not the only one, but he's the only one. He's the first one to judge Israel and the surrounding nations that were involved in Israel's pride. See, Israel always wanted to be like the other nations. So the other nations were involved. And God judged it. If you ever see God judge something, you're going to see things a whole lot clearer. And you know that when it's time, he's going to move. And he don't want to hear intercession when he's doing judgment. When I'm in the prayer room praying, I remember the times he used to give me those writings. Sometimes they would be so stern. It was nothing like I ever heard preached. It was straight from the heart. It was like reading Isaiah and Jeremiah. And sometimes I was slow to share it, but if I had to share it, I had that vow going. I would share it and write it and publish it. But he always gave confirmations if I didn't understand something. Now, he said, many among them, verse 15, shall stumble and fall and be broken, snared and taken. Then he said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. There's always a remnant of people that love God, no matter what Satan do, no matter what their cousins do, no matter what their brother, their parents, their children do. They're going to love God, and they're going to stand flat-footed or arch-footed and do what's right. And so to them, he said, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. Some things the Lord will give you to do, he's hiding it from the proud and he gives it to his people. The Lord has always done that. And the instructions he gives me is the same. If people are proud in that way, then I notice that the Lord draws back. The revelation I was about to share with him, I can't. I forget it. God will cause me to forget it if he has to. And then when I leave that presence, it all comes back. I didn't understand why that used to happen. I said, how in the world did the enemy do that? I thought the enemy did it, being honest. And I prayed about it. I kept praying. I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I forgot everything. I'm looking at the person. See, people hide their ways. And they're good at it. But God looks at the heart. He always responds to the heart. If you want to know what God is doing, you have to pay attention to people who love him, people who are obedient and sincere. When those three things line up, that's when that's where you go to get perfect intelligence. They love God with the intent to obey his word, and they're sincere from the heart. And the world would view that kind of person as gullible. See, proud people, they'll label a person that loves God as stupid. They think the ways of God are stupid. They think the love of God is stupid. That's why they don't do it. That's the last thing that they'll leave. That's the kind of book they'll leave on the shelf, a book about love. In the Sunday school class, Sister Deborah said that Joyce Myers, she said, all the books I write about prosperity, a better life, they buy those quick. But the books about how to love your brother, they leave it on the shelf. Said, the waters that go softly. What are people putting on the top shelves of their life? What's their highest priority? And that's how their life is going to end up. Now, he said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and will look for him. And I will look for him. He's hiding from the proud. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts, which dwells in Mount Zion. You know, again, in verse 17, he's hiding from the house of Jacob. This tells me that even those that are anointed, even those that know better, even those who once followed him, when they get in pride, God will hide from them and hide what he's doing from them. And they'll never know it until they repent and go back to the living love of God. And I've seen that happen too many times. I hope I don't have to see it again. Well, verse 19. And when they shall seek unto you. Verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead? Are you serious? You're going to seek a lying spirit over the Holy Spirit? You're going to seek a dead man to tell you about life? That's what Isaiah is asking this question. The living to the dead? Are you serious? This, my friend, is full-blown AIDS. The pride and rebellion is HIV. But when you start getting your counsel from demonic spirits, that's full-blown AIDS. That's not deception anymore. That's rebellion. That's full-blown AIDS. And that's how people are now. Too many. Verse 20. Verse 19 again. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and then mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead? No, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Full-blown age. There's no more light in them. Even the fear of the Lord won't work when there's no light in you. When there's no love in you, the fear of the Lord won't work. People who, they repent when they get caught. They're embarrassed. There's no love in them.